Okay, so we're sitting in the Pleasance Courtyard with James Bannon, who is appearing in the show based on his experience as an undercover policeman infiltrating football hooligans. The show is called Running with the Firm, as is the book, which is not quite out yet, coming out fairly soon. And I have to say that when I went to the bar and I ordered a cider, and I thought, I could get some cider in black, that'd be quite nice. I don't normally have that. And I thought, no, I'd look a bit wimpy there. But actually, I suddenly realised pretty much anything I do is going to look fairly wimpy compared to a guy who has been where you've been. So how on earth did you get into it?
I joined the police when I was 16 as a police cadet, and then 18 to training school, and then from training school came out, and I got lucky. I got mentored very early on by a sergeant who'd been had been a detective inspector and been busted back to uniform, and as a result of that, he saw something in me, and I started working in plain clothes as an observer on the area car, which is a good on a relief, i.e. in a uniform role, is a good spot, and to get that 6 weeks out of training school is unheard of, and I got accelerated by him, and other people saw that I had an ability in plain clothes. And by the time I was 20, I did my first drugs buy on an estate in South London, which was an unmitigated disaster. As I went in to do the drugs, and all the drugs were outside, and as I went to the bar, I got told to turn around and go out because he wasn't going to be serving me alcohol because I didn't look old enough. And I didn't really have the... I couldn't whip my warrant card out and go, actually, I'm 19 and I'm a policeman.
What are you talking about? I've got ID.
So I then had to walk outside to all of the drugstores and go, I'm really sorry. And they went, oh, blimey, you ain't very good. They sussed you out. And I went, no, he didn't suss me out. He wouldn't tell me to get out of the pub because I didn't look old enough. So that was my first real undercover, I suppose, covert operation. So then there's a distinct difference between plainclothes policemen and undercover policemen.
Okay.
Is... undercover policemen, that's what they live that. Take a role and they live that life for the period of the operation. Whereas a plainclothes police officer is somebody who works in plainclothes in a CID or on a robbery squad or on a crime squad and will, when necessary, announce to whoever they're following or whoever they're trying to arrest that they are a policeman. Whereas an undercover policeman, a covert police officer, will never do that.
Yeah.
That will never happen. So there's a distinct difference, and very, very few people get the opportunity to do that form of work. So,
I mean, this is, you know, a seriously heavy subject, but you do take a very light touch to it. You know, last night at the zoo launch, you guys were handing out these business cards, which are based on the ones that you were given for your identity when you first when you were first put on this particular operation of infiltrating the football gang.
Yeah. I think we're just trying to highlight the fact that, you know, it's a show, and that taking bits from real life and putting them into that show. And my cover was an absolute joke for the first 6 months. We had nothing. We had a business card on which was a fictitious fictitious company, my false name and an address and a telephone number that didn't exist, and a picture of a paint pot with a paintbrush next to it. That was it. For 6 months, so it was just quite funny that we could advertise the show and say, and obviously if you ever get in any trouble, you should whip your card out. But obviously, it's like everything, there's a serious side to what we do. Every aspect, and for me, it's just about, if you can't laugh, then you may as well sort of pack up and go, really. And it's, I think you need to take everything that you do, you need to take and try and find the positives out of what you do rather than the negatives. And there were lots and lots of negatives in relation to this operation, and lots of trials moving forward. But it was also very funny, it was also quite heart wrenching, it was a real emotional roller coaster from day one to the end. And I think it will make for a really, really, really interesting show. And having been an actor, I think the reason it is because I've got a character that I can hide behind. It's me. So I'm apprehensive because it's me. This isn't about, you know, me playing a character in a film or on stage. This is me bearing my soul telling people what it was like to do this work in a dramatic form, but at the same time it's just me. And I think that, you know, although I'm apprehensive, I'm very excited about the fact that it's going to, I think, give people a theatrical experience that they wouldn't necessarily get to, yeah, to experience. And so for that, I think it's a good thing.
I mean, and the thing is that although you're a, although you, you know, clearly are an extremely good actor in order to pass under the radar and to be able to get in the to infiltrate the gang, you know, you can't just rock up and, you know, grab a microphone and off you go. You've had a you've been directed, and we met your director last night.
Yep.
And and we've got your stage managers also milling about somewhere.
Yep.
So how did the team, that team, get put together?
I got the option to write the book about 18 months ago, and I'm as and I talk about it in the book and I talk about it in the show, is instinct. I've lived my life on my instinct, and I've only ever got it wrong once because I didn't follow my instincts or my gut feeling. So the instincts for me are, is that I think that the book was the right, it was the right time to do the book, and it just felt with the book coming out that it may be an interesting process to try and tell the story. Now, it's part for the launch of the book, and it's part to promote the book in as much as, but the, and this is Dermot, his you know, I could sit there and just read extracts from the book. It'd be shit. You know, it'd be, well, it wouldn't be shit, but it'd be.
Wouldn't be the one to tell you.
No. When I say shit, I mean it wouldn't be shit. That's probably the wrong word to use. But it would be theatrically, it would be less exciting.
Underwhelming.
Then somebody standing up and going, look, I'm just going to tell you some stories, and I'm going to try and get you, and to come on that journey with me, and understand what it felt like, and to be in that bar, and to be in that, and to be on that terrace, and to get a feeling of what it actually felt like. So that, and that will be my job, and is to take people on a journey from, like all theatre, is to take them on a journey from the start to the finish, and for them to have an experience,
yep,
when a different opinion or an option in relation to where they are, as to when they went in there, they came out somebody different, and I'm not life changing, but they went in there with maybe one opinion and they came out with another, or they went in there with one thought process and they came out of there with another, and that's. Books can do amazing things. Things with books is that people, they can take you on a journey when you read a book, but it's an individual journey for you. This about the show isn't that. This is about you following, going with me and going on that journey. So the book, you can lose yourself and you can imagine what people look like and, you know, they're described, but you can take yourself off, you can put it down, you can come back to it. This is, you go in, you sit down and you're on that journey and ultimately, at the end of it, you've been through that process, and you go, right, okay, I get it. And it makes for a fascinating event.
How are you going to deal with the fact that, you know, this isn't, you know, some abstract, this is actually your life, and that you are going to be not just recalling, but in some ways kind of physically reliving the stress and the strain that you went through. How, you know, and you're going to be doing that day in, day out for the next 3 weeks.
I think that the is to that, it's hard, but any actor, or certainly actors that I admire, they do that every time they perform.
Yeah.
When you perform, you go through your emotional range. It's slightly different because it's me. And I have to put myself, and the only way I'm going to put myself in that position, and the only way that the show is going to be, for me, the way that the show is going to work, is the fact that I need to do that so that people understand that this is what it was like. And, you know, it's a huge ask. It's a massive ask. You know, you do leave yourself very, very vulnerable.
Yeah.
Because everything you do is a personal thing. And you're taking yourself to, and it's not easy either. And this isn't an easy thing to do at all. It's because everything's heightened. Everything was heightened. Therefore, to make the performance believable and make it work, you have to take yourself and you have to go to those places in order that people understand how dangerous, how scary, how sad, how brutal, how upsetting, how all the emotions that we'll get from the show that you have to go through. It's easier. It's still not easy, but it's easier when you do that in the written form, because you can write it and then it's done.
Yeah.
And you can park it and then you can write the next bit. It's still emotionally difficult, but it's a different process. Whereas with performing, as you know, is ultimately you are bearing your soul to a group of people who are going to be critical or accepting of what you're saying. And so on that basis, you know, there is an apprehension. But at the same time, I think because it's, for me, it's a story that I think that people, and the book is beginning to prove that. The book is being, it's a bit overwhelming, the reaction to the book. And it's not out until the 15th of August, and yet already there's a really good vibe within people that have read it and have really enjoyed it. You know, and so I think that it's a compelling story, it's a very interesting story, it's a story that people will maybe not think that they understand, but they'll understand more than they would be aware of once they come and they actually sit and maybe experience it.
Obviously, you know, it's a fairly zeitgeisty question at the moment, and you are very much the go-to guy for news editors at the moment.
Yeah.
When stories come up about undercover police and the role of undercover police, and when things go wrong in practice, what are we as the audience going to come away making of undercover policemen?
It's a really good question, and I think it's really important. And I think the reason is for that is that at the moment with the current revelations, and I knew none of this was going to happen. Again, it was instincts. It felt the right time to write the book. And then I decided to write the book, and 6 weeks later, there's massive revelations about undercover police officers that Rob Evans and stuff at The Guardian have championed them, and quite rightly. So I think that I don't want to get too political or too heavy, but, you know, and I've said this in commentary, is, you know, there should be a public inquiry, and the reason there should be a public inquiry is because the public's perception of undercover police officers now is that they adopt the identities of their children, that they have sex with their targets, and they infiltrate families who have just had their son brutally murdered to try and see if they can get some form of evidence against them or information against them to discredit them.
Yep. Okay.
So it's not good. Actually, that's one side, and it isn't good. But there is also another side of the fact of what you do and how you work it and how it operates. And I think it's basically, ultimately, it's just about educating people or making people a lot of, and very few people have the ability to talk about this subject, and even fewer would be willing to stand up and tell their story to a live audience in a theatrical process. I live my life. It's just that's how it is. You know, we're all different. That's me. It's just like, fuck it, I'm going to do that. And it's I've always been that way, and I will always continue to be. And I think that what is the worst thing that can happen?
Well, James has promised that we can interview him again at the end of the Fringe. So stay posted, and we will find out what is the worst thing that can happen. Thank you very much for talking with Fringe Review, man. Cheers.
No worries. Cheers, Dan. Thanks, mate.